worship Him in spirit and in truth. A lot of folks talk about praising God, but I don't know if they really know what it means to praise Him or not. But I want to, if God had let me, I want to. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to where we've been preaching from, the Song of Solomon, please, in chapter number 5 this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. And when you find that place in your Bible, if you would stand with me, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. And as we always do, we'll read right down to and including our scripture verse for the morning. Verse 1, the Bible said, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my vows were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved. Myrrh. Let me find my place here. My Bible's written in so much. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that were about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Now the daughters of Jerusalem speak, What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, and what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou doest so charge us? Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the house of God. Thank you for your people that make up the house of God. Thank you for a place to assemble. Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence in my soul this morning and for touching my heart again, reminding me again of the good grace of God and the good mercies of the Lord, the good love that's been shed abroad in my soul. Thank you, Lord, for your people that are faithful to be in God's house. And I pray this morning that you'd magnify yourself to us, that you'd open the Scriptures to our understanding, that you'd reveal Christ in a most glorious way to our hearts this day. Help us, I pray, to preach the gospel that sinners might be saved. And God, say something to your people that will encourage them this morning, strengthen their faith, and be a blessing to them. I pray for myself as I stand, Lord, to preach the Word of God. May the precious Spirit fill me again with Thy Spirit. May the Holy Ghost of God empower me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and provide liberty in this place to say everything that needs to be said. Dealing with what I am this morning, Lord, I need your help more than ever. Enable me by grace, I pray, to be a blessing to thy people. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text this morning is found in verse number 9. Amen. Solomon is here writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And probably one of the most intimate passages of Scripture that we'll find anywhere in all the Bible. And he said, What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou doest charge us, charge us. I'm preaching on a most unusual subject in a Sunday morning hour, and a subject that I really wrestled with as far as being what I wanted to preach this morning, but I believe that I've found the will of God out of this verse of Scripture, and I believe I've rightly divided it. And I want to try to preach for a little while on the attitude of young converts. Amen. Now, don't ask me why God's got me preaching that. I do not know. But I think that the disposition of young converts is important to us in the house of God. I would to God that I'd have been taught in younger years how to respect those and esteem those highly that have been in the work of God, or for those that have been in Christ for years before I managed to get there. And there is a right attitude that you and I ought to have, and a right relationship that God wants us to have to those that have been in Christ before us. And I want to try to preach for just a little while on that thought, if I may, this morning. Now, by way of memory, I want to remind you that the bride here in search, in her diligent search that she has been making for of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she has found herself being roughly handled and even abused by the watchmen of the city. The Bible said there that when they found her in her search, that she was smitten and that she was wounded and that they had even stripped her of her bridal veil. Now, having found absolutely no help there, it's amazing to me how some folks claim to have all the answers and yet they're never able to give a word of help. And here she goes to the watchman of the city, and to the keepers of the wall that are supposed to observe everything that goes on within the city. And yet, they had no help for her. They were more or less like those men in Job's day. They were miserable comforters to that young lady in her search of the one that she esteemed highly and loved with all of her heart. And having found no help there, she turns to the daughters of Jerusalem. And I really believe that in doing so, she hoped to awake them out of their slumber and their sleep. These daughters of Jerusalem may have been like the five wise virgins in Matthew 25. That while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, I want to say, my friend, it is not an hour for God's people to be slumbering and sleeping. It's like Gary Wayne said in the Sunday school hour, brother, it's time to get the seed out of the barn and get the barn in the field. There are souls that are perishing around us without God and without hope, my friend. And it seems as though that God's people are asleep on their bed of ease while the world goes by and souls drop off into hell. We found a life of luxury and ease that seems to satisfy us a great deal more than what does the Word of God. And she seems to awake or be hoping to awaken these slumbering hearts that they might join her. I believe that is the request of her heart, that they might join her in her diligent search for the Lord Jesus Christ, her beloved. And I believe that's what they're saying here. Why did you charge us so? What is your beloved more than another beloved? What is the Lord Jesus Christ more than somebody else? And they seem to be inquiring into her as to the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ toward her. Now, before I go any further, I want to ask this question. Who are these daughters of Jerusalem? Who are these daughters of Jerusalem? I believe that John Gill, and I've been studying after him, and I do study after other men. I believe that John Gill and James Durham both agree that they're young converts who have yet to reach the spiritual height that the bride here had reached in her Christian endeavors. Just young converts. Not been saved for a long time at all. Maybe did not know as much as the bride. Maybe had not been through quite as much as she had. But they were young converts that she was trying to arouse or awaken that they might join her and assist her in her search for the Lord. Now, I wrote this in here, if you'll just bear with me a minute. It sounds to me like here that it may be the cry of a heart of a pastor. And I'm not, no, it's the bride, but it sounds like the plea of a pastor as he shepherds the flock, longing and yearning in his heart for the power and the presence of God. And he is making an honest, heartfelt appeal to the people that sat under him that they too would join in this diligent search that we might find the Lord together. May I say to you this morning by way of introduction, this may sound strange to you, but friend, I charge you as a church in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is set to judge both the quick and the dead, that you arouse yourselves and bestir yourselves that you and I like may set our heart and our affection upon finding the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Amen. That we may have Him both in power and in presence in the house of God. It sounds like she's trying to stir them up, trying to awaken them. She's extending a plea to them, an invitation to them. She is asking them, will you please help me? Will you please help me? And their response is, what is your beloved more than another beloved? They had enough sense, my friend, and spirituality that they realized that the bride saw something in Christ that they had not seen. May I say to you that the old timers that's been down the road and they walked through the fires and they've been with God and sat at His feet, my friend, may know a little bit more about the Lord Jesus than what some of us younger converts might know. Amen. She said, you tell him that I'm sick of love if you find him. And I charge you, if you find him, tell him I'm sick of love. Help me in this diligent search that we may find him. And you know, in verse 9, the daughters of Jerusalem asked the same question twice. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? And I find in that verse the attitude of these young converts. Their attitude toward the Lord and their attitude toward the bride. Their attitude toward their elders that had been in Christ just a little bit longer than they had. The bride here had turned to the watchman and she found no help. She went to the keepers of the wall and she found no help. But she found something in the daughters of Jerusalem, friend, that you could not find somewhere else. May I say this morning that in that verse I see the compassion of the daughters of Jerusalem. I wonder really this morning how many of us have compassion for the older saints in God that have tread down that pathway many years before we've ever got there. That we can sympathize with them in what they are going through in the life that they're going through.
that we can comfort them in some of their discouragements and some of their trials and some of the calamities of life that they're in. Somebody said, "Preacher, I need comfort of myself." Oh, yes. But I'm telling you, some of you here this morning are just living, my friend, in the rear echelon. Wait till you serve God for a while and walk with God a while, and God's tested you a while and tried you a while, and you'll understand what it means, my friend, to have the dross purged out of you, amen, and made a pure lump for the glory and honor of God. And I say to you as a church, the older Christian, while they're walking through these trials, my friend, there ought to be a little bit of compassion in our heart for them and uphold them and pray for them that God would undergird them in their endeavor. That's right, ain't it? God help us. Amen to God. I see some compassion there. Why, this little bride had went to the watchman of the city, and rather than finding compassion, she was smitten and wounded. She went to the keepers of the wall, and rather than finding help, they stripped her of her bridal veil. But as soon as she came to these daughters of Jerusalem and beckoned them for help, their immediate response was, "Why? What makes him so altogether lovely? But what makes him so precious to you? Why is he of the apple of your eye? Why have you set aside all others and everything else that you may know him as Paul did in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death? What is your beloved above another beloved? Why is he more special to you than anything else in the world?" I want to say to you, my friend, that the longer I serve him, the sweeter it grows. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Oh, no, sir. And Brother Andy, I'm going to tell you something. I long for the day, friend, when our precious Lord will walk up and down the aisles of this church, amen, and whisper of the blessed words of life into our ears that we may enjoy. Amen to God, the good things of the Lord, that He may drop handfuls of purpose in the aisles, that you might carry them home with you, and not only have Lord the Lord here, but have the Lord in your home also. I long for the day, my friend, when He'll walk beside us like He did on the road to Emmaus, and open the Scriptures to us, and open our hearts for us, that we might receive with all readiness of mind the engrafted Word of God into our soul. Oh, I long for that day. Will you help me find him? The men come and prayed last night. Men have been praying 5 mornings a week, I think. Brother Stephen and Doug have, I know, at 8 o'clock here in the house of God. Why, Brother Hall, we're looking for him. Why? What is your beloved more than another beloved? Why does he satisfy more than something else in life may satisfy? Now I want to urge you this morning. Hey, my God, show a little compassion. Would you please pray and help us? Would you show some tenderness of spirit and love in your heart? And if you care not for him yet, my friend, care, search for him, because someone else has been down the road and they've been in his presence. And I'm here to tell you, friend, once you've ever been there, you'll not live without it. This bride had already been in the garden. She had walked with him in fellowship, and now they were separated. And his fellowship and his communion meant more to her than all the money and gold of this world. She had found a treasure in earthen vessel, buddy. Huh? Now I want to say that treasure is Jesus. Son, his name is Jesus. Huh? And she seemed to show a little compassion for the bride and the situation that she was in, the condition she was living under. And when I thought about that compassion, I thought about the Good Samaritan, that man that had went down from Jericho The Bible said that he fell amongst three thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment and robbed him and left him wounded in a ditch. The Bible goes on to say that a priest occasioned down that way, and as he passed by, he looked upon the man as he lay in the ditch, and the Bible said that he just meandered to the other side of the road and went on minding his own business. I'm afraid that's the way some of us are this morning. Does it bother you, my friend, that there are older Christians in the house of God that long for Him and yearn for Him and feel as though they cannot live without Him? I'm afraid, my friend, that priest paid no attention to the condition that man was in, but just passed by, the Bible said, on the other side. Directly by and by, here came the Levite. And in like manner, he just glanced upon that man and realized he was wounded, been stripped, laying in a ditch naked, in a helpless and hopeless seemed like situation. The Bible said that he likewise turned aside and offered no help whatsoever. But oh, just an old Samaritan, a half-breed, if you please. Amen, that the Jews felt as though the curse of God was upon them. The Bible said that on his journey, he passed by that same way. And beholding that man in the condition he was in, the Bible said that he had compassion on him. I said he had compassion on him. I said he had compassion on him. Saw that man wounded and had compassion on him. And my friend, much like these daughters of Jerusalem, when they saw the wounds that she had encountered in search of her Lord, and saw her broken heart and spirit, my friend, the Bible said they had compassion on her and went out with her to seek her beloved. And that old Samaritan got down in the ditch where that man was. The Bible said that he bound up his wounds, amen, poured in oil and wine, lifted him out of that ditch and set him on his own beast, amen, and carried him to an inn and took care of him, amen, and left money with the innkeeper that if the bill amounted to any more than that, told him, "I'll take care of it when I come again." Amen. He had compassion. I see an attitude of compassion in these young daughters of Jerusalem, young converts. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I wish somebody had told me years ago, and I'm going to get to the message in a minute. You just hang right with me. But I wish people would have told me years ago what lay in store for me down the road. Now, I don't want to get ahead of my message, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. Those daughters of Jerusalem realized that what the bride had already gone through, that friend, their turn was coming up next. For I'm telling you, every child of God that He saves, He must take them through the strange fires of tribulation and trial to purge out the sin out of their lives and make them pure in the eyes of God. I'm telling you, one reason you ought to have compassion on older converts is because you're headed someday, my friend, down the same pathway that they've already walked in. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. Now, I wrote down the definition of the word compassion. It amazed me what that word means. It means a mixed passion. And it's compounded with love and with sorrow. And there's no doubt that good Samaritan, my friend, his compassion was that he felt sorry in his heart for that man. But he also shared a love for that man and knew that they both shared the same love for Christ. May I say to you that are saved in here this morning, my God, we share the same sorrows of life and we share the same Savior in life. And friend, it would behoove us, my brother, to get under one another's burdens and shoulder one another's burdens, amen to God, and have some respect for those that have walked down the road before we have. Amen.
Now somebody said, "Preacher, what were these?" Well, I believe first of all in their compassion, they were touched by her afflictions. They saw that she had been afflicted. I wonder if we really are touched with the feeling of others' infirmities. I wonder how many of us' heart was really moved when we thought that Miss Patty back there had cancer. Huh? I remember one of the grandkids. I don't remember which one of them it was. I don't remember whether it was Doug's or one of Lisa's children. Come up to us after we had learned the other day. Our Doug's, our Miss Tammy's and Steve's. And I don't remember which one of them it was, but they come up to us at the house and little old eyeballs so sad, they said, "Has Miss Patty got cancer?" And I saw that tenderness in their heart and the concern they had for her condition. And I wondered, my God, I wonder how many of us, when we heard the news that there was a possibility that one of like faith and maybe even one that's been saved longer than some of you others, I was walking through a fire, my friend, that as sure as God made little green apples, maybe not in the same manner, but in likewise, somewhere down the road, friend, God Almighty will see to it that you walk through the same. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I tell you, we better learn to find some compassion in our hearts for those, my friend, that are under the afflicting hand of God. I tell you, she was touched, my friend, by the afflictions of the bride. I wonder how many of us really got broken when we heard that Angie lost her child. Did it do anything to us? Did we feel her and Benny's remorse? Did we feel and experience the same pain that they were under? Did we share the loss with them? Or did we go merrily down life's way, friend, as if nothing had happened? Oh, and I'll tell you, in most part, nothing has happened. Oh, I'll tell you, until it comes home, until it comes home to where we're living, it seems that there's very little that moves us. It wasn't the daughters of Jerusalem that had been smitten. They had not been wounded. They had not lost their bridal veil. But somewhere down in the heart, they looked yonder out in the future and realized that the same bridegroom that had chastened her, my friend, would someday play the chastening rod to them. They would experience the same that she had. And they found a compassion in their heart being touched by her afflictions. I want to say to you younger converts too, and my friend, that is one step to Christ-likeness. We want to be like Jesus, and in doing so, we think it's a men cutting their hair and wearing pants and a long sleeve shirt. And women are wearing a dress and not cutting their hair and never putting on an ounce of makeup. But I want to ask you something, and that's all good, and I believe in it. But I want to ask you something, friend. What about being like Christ, who is a great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities? Oh, somebody said, "That's for Him." Yes, that is for Him in interpretation. But my friend, God's people ought to be able to be touched with the feeling of the infirmities of others. And I'll say this right here, that the older you get in Christ, the greater the trial will be. The greater the affliction will be. You don't spank a child like you do a 6-month-old child like you do a 10-year-old boy. And God does not chasten, neither expect as much out of a young convert as He does out of older Christians. And I'm not going to pin a feather in my hat, but some of the things, my friend, that your pastor goes through, many of you have never been through yet. I wonder if we could x-ray your hearts, how many of you have prayed for my Parkinson's and my physical body? How many of you have prayed for my throat and the health of it? Huh? God help us. It's sad to say, but son, I'm afraid old Christians are like old folks. When they get in the, when they get between the straits and God puts a squeeze on, you know what we do with old people? We throw them in a retirement home. Stick them in a nursing home.
let them eat the sloppy food and puke on themselves. Amen, that's right. To use the bathroom in their clothes. But after all, they just old folks. And what can they contribute to society anymore? Now, I'm afraid many times young converts have got the same idea. Buddy, I'm young and strong and healthy. And God's a blessing me and a helping me. What's the need of me worrying about that old man of God done been down the road? I'm going to tell you something, friend. If God lets you live long enough, you mark her down. You walk down the same pathway that this old preacher has walked down sooner or later. Amen. She was touched. They were touched by her affliction. I won't say number two. This is her attitude now. She had compassion. They were not only touched by her afflictions, but they were being tested in their personal love for Christ. What is your beloved more than another beloved, thou fairest among women? You know what? Here she is wounded and smitten, and they saw something in her that looked fairer than what they were. Fairest among women. They said, you're much fairer than what we are. And what do you see in your beloved that's more than another beloved? Thou fairest among women. And what do you see in your beloved that's more than another beloved? That you would give us such a charge as that. What is he to you?
Amen.
God, I'm going to tell you something, friend. God tries the elder statesman as well as the younger all at the same time. Better listen. God was attesting them in their love. Do you really love me enough to go after me as she is?
Amen.
Is your young love strong enough to endure the chastening that she has? And yet, go on in search of me.
Amen.
Go on with God. Miss Angie back there in the choir sings, I believe I'll just go on with God. I've heard some of them saying that, and they're gone rather than going on with God.
Amen.
Brother Shelby told me over the other night, brother, he said, I'm going to be here every night. He said, I just can't get enough of that preaching.
Amen.
Amen to God. That's what these daughters of Jerusalem were saying. I just can't get enough of that preaching. I'm going on with God, and I'm telling you that Christ was attesting them in their love. And a young convert, if you're really saved by the grace of God, Brother Shelby, you and Louisa, I tell you on the authority of the Word of God, a son, there's no turning back. You put your hand to the plow, God will test you and prove you to find out if you really love Him like you say you do. He'll make you prove that He is your beloved. And that your desires are to Him and to none other. What is your beloved more than another beloved? Did you love Him more than you do something else? We're going to get there in a minute. Did you love Him more than you do something else? Is He worth more to you than this world? Is He worth more to you than possessions? Is He more than you than pleasures? What is your beloved more than another beloved? I tell you, my friend, I'm far enough up the road with Him, Brother Mark, that He's my all in all, my everything. Hallelujah to God. I wouldn't trade Him for a million years on this side of the cross. Why would I want to trade Him for a million years on this side when I'm going to have Him for an eternity on the other side? Hallelujah. Woo!
Yeah.
Testing her personal love. Kind of like He did old brother Peter. When He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, Lord, then feed my lambs. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, Lord, then Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Then feed my sheep. That's right unto God. Do you love Him more than you do these? Do you love Him more than your fish?
Amen.
You know what Peter's fish represented, friend? It represented his livelihood. It represented his occupation and how he made a living. Do you love Him? Do you love Him more than your very occupation tonight?
Huh?
Some of you men need to start making arrangements to be in church on Sundays. I won't charge you a thing for that. Do you love Him more than these? Yeah, Lord, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. Come on in the house. I won't charge you nothing for that. I want to say thirdly, in their compassion, they were touched by her afflictions. They were tested in their love. But they were thoughtful to those that had been in Christ before them. I wonder how much respect. You know, I've been in churches, and I'm going to meddle a little bit right here.
Son, I've seen children just about run people down in church, stomping over them, running between them when they're trying to talk. They show absolutely no respect at all. But I can understand that out of a child. I'm going to tell you what bothers me is when adults that claim to be saved. I was sitting in there the other day and telephone rang, and Miss Ruth said, preacher said the telephone call, went in my office, took it, I don't remember who it was from. Picked up the phone, hello, and the fellow said, Gary? And I said, this is Pastor Hall. He said, yeah, Gary, this is so-and-so. I said, this is not Gary, this is Pastor Hall. Come on in the house. I'm talking about respect, friend. They were thoughtful. They said, if there's anything that I can do to help this elder statesman, it's kind of like Ben and Hur that held up the arms of Moses while the battle was raging with Joshua and the Amalekites. That's right. If there's anything I can do to help, they said, we're going to help. We're going to be mindful of your condition. We're thoughtful of what you're going through, the trials that you're enduring, the affliction that you're under, the pain that you're experiencing. We want to be mindful of that. And we want to help you because we realize that in finding Him is a cure.
Amen.
For your love sickness.
Amen.
Thoughtful. Can I read you a verse of Scripture? Huh? I think we should esteem highly and respect greatly those who are older in Christ than what we are.
Amen.
Brother Nolan walks into a room, it just demands respect. Some of you young boys and girls in here ought to have some godly fear and reverence for the preacher and respect him. If nobody else won't tell you that, I will. If your parents ain't got the grit in their backbone to tell you, I'll tell you.
Amen.
It's a sin, friend, when heathen folk have got more respect for the Christian community or the elder Christians, especially than what church members have. I'll never forget years ago, Harold Sotler was here in a meeting. I took him up what was at the time the Ponderosa, the Bonanza Steakhouse. We went in up there for supper, and Doc Sotler walked up to the counter, and I ordered, and Doc Sotler looked up, and the woman said, can I help you, sir? And he said, I want that child's fish plate. That woman said, I'm sorry, sir. We only serve that to children. Doc Sotler said, I said, I want the child's fish plate. She said, yes, sir. We'll get it for you just in a minute. Age ought to be respected, folks. I told you this is odd. I'm trying to get a hold of it the best I can, buddy. God's put it in my heart. Hey, you know what Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2? He said, rebuke not an elder. Don't you raise your mouth to an elder. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren. And the elder women as mothers. And the younger as sisters with all purity.
Amen.
May I say to some of you young children in here, that's not Jerry over there. And that is not Leroy back there.
Amen.
That's Brother Leroy and Brother
right.
Jerome.
Right. Amen.
That's not Sue and Robert. That's Miss Sue.
Amen.
Sister Vincent. Brother Robert. Brother Vincent. Amen to God. Somebody said, well, I seen them doing something the other day that they ought to have been doing. It ain't your place to rebuke them. Let them alone.
Amen.
Let them alone. Hallelujah to God. If it's Ann, take a board to her. If it's them, leave them alone.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying my best here now. But I see their compassion there. I see their compassion, the compassion of the daughters of Jerusalem. And then I see their concern. They begin to say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved?
Right.
And they mention that twice. This is an inquiry. What is he that you would be smitten so and wounded so and deprived of your bridal veil and yet continue to seek after him? They wanted to know more about him. And they wanted to know more about her love for him, even in her present treatment. Now, you've got to get this. And if you don't get anything else, get what I'm telling you now. They wanted to know more about and understand more about her love for him and how she could possibly love him after he had treated her the way he had treated her.
Amen.
They may have been there when he called and she wouldn't answer. They may have been there when he knocked and she wouldn't open. But they also may have been there when she did open the door and realized that he had withdrawn himself and was gone. Now, I'm going to tell you what, it takes a real woman to love a man that will desert her. Don't nobody leave me right here. It takes a real woman to love a man that will desert her. It takes a real man to love a woman that will desert her. And it takes a real Christian, my friend, to keep on loving Christ when they feel like they've been deserted by Him.
Amen.
He had withdrawn Himself and was gone. And she wondered, the daughters of Jerusalem wondered, how can you love Him? What has He got that possesses you so that you can love Him after you've been treated by Him?
Amen.
The way you've been treated by Him. He's deserted you. He's left you, and yet you still love Him so. How can that possibly be? He had withdrawn Himself. She called, Lord, but He just refused to answer. I'm sure the daughter of Jerusalem said, if He hadn't answered, that would have made me mad. Especially when the Bible says, call unto me and I'll answer thee. Lord, I've been a-calling, and You ain't answered. My friends, it ever occurred to you? Has it ever occurred to you that it has answered? And you've just failed to hear His blessed voice? Or has it ever occurred to you that He's failed to answer to arouse your love and stir your most inner spirit in you to stir up your love for Him and cause you to seek after Him and prove your love for Him? Tell you, if you love Him the way she loved Him, son, if He doesn't answer and He doesn't, amen, you'll go after Him if you really love Him. Can I tell you something on myself? You won't run me off as your pastor, will you? Years ago, me and Sister Hall had a little lover spat, you know. And, yeah. And I was going to Sturgis years ago now, probably 10 years ago or longer. And I was going to Sturgis to a meeting. And I called her from Shoney's. And I said, this is the last you'll ever see of me. She said, where are you at? I said, I'm leaving. And you'll never see me again. I ain't telling you where I'm going. I'm just gone. And the last words I heard her say on that phone, I heard her say, Gary! And I hung the phone up. I headed to Sturgis and got as far as Wick's Well. 3-2-2-8-4-5-8. Sweetheart, is that you? Yes, where are you at? I'm at Wick's Well going over to Sturgis and I just called to let you know, baby, I love you. Hallelujah to God. Oh, these little old spats and squabbles that we have, I just want you to know I love you. I'm telling you, why did I have to? I'm telling you, I called her because I was deeply in love with her and didn't want to spend 5 minutes outside of her fellowship, hallelujah to God, and I wanted her to know that I loved her above everything else. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, that's the situation that we see right here. And these daughters of Jerusalem, being young converts, are concerned. How? I told somebody the other day, somebody asked me the other day, said, preacher, said, I don't know how you keep it going. Now look here. How can I love Him? Now I believe that all things work together for our good.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, how can you keep on loving the Lord? You've got a spinal fusion in your lower back, 3 bulging discs in your neck. You've got skin irritation on your legs. It's probably Agent Orange. Your throat muscles are growing weak. You've been diagnosed with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and with Parkinson's disease. Wonder where all that came from. But I'm going to tell you what. When I sat down inside on that couch up in that upper room this morning, Miss Sharon, all I had to say was, oh, Lord, I love thee.
Amen.
And I'm not trying, but I'm just, man, the tears of joy rolled out of my eyes and down my cheeks. Somebody said, "Preacher, why are you like you are?" The affliction of the Lord! The chastisement of God! Now I'm telling you more than ever, friend, as a preacher, I've got to not only seek Him, but it's imperative that I find Him. My ministry hangs in the balance.
Amen.
My throat muscles go. My ministry's gone. If my physical body decays, my ministry's gone. Somebody said, "Why has He done thus?" The same reason He did thus to that little bride, to Him, to propel her out of that room, to bestir her interest in Him, that you might find Him. And I charge you this morning, my friend, that you assist me in my help to find God, for there'll come a day when God Almighty will lay a hand on you as He has me, and you'll have to find Him in the same manner that I have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It refused to answer when she called. He had even allowed her to be abused. He didn't intervene at all when the watchman of the city was smiting her and wounding her and depriving her of her bridal veil. I wonder why. I've already said it, but I'll say it again. Possibly they had in view their future trials and testings. The bride was experiencing something that they would in the future. May I say to you as a young convert, think it not strange of the fiery trial which is to try you. May I say to you that the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, is much more precious than gold that perisheth.
Amen.
As Peter went on to say, that you might receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, sir. And you'll experience the same devil they did. You'll experience the same world they did. You'll experience the same trials. You'll experience the same tribulation. It just repeats itself over and over and over again. And I tell you, you can learn so much. Oh, that I honestly believe that's why God... I believe that's why God's letting me go through what I am. And I've prayed. I'm trying to pour out my heart to you. I've prayed and asked God to let me be whatever it takes to be your pastor. To set the example that you're going to need in your life.
Amen.
Amen. And Miss Hall was we were talking the other day, and she said, "My, when it rains, it pours." And we got to talking about this going on and that problem going on and this going on. And she said, "It just seems like when it rains, it pours." And I thought in my heart right then, "Honey, it's already rained.
Amen.
Now the rains are falling somewhere else."
Right.
Are you listening? Is it soaking in on you this morning?
Amen.
I wonder how many of us were really broken when Ricky and Kelly lost their little baby.
Amen.
I'm talking about really broken, friend.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, that's just an everyday routine, not at Island Ford Baptist Church."
Amen.
As far as I know, it's the first.
Amen.
And I hope to God the last.
Amen.
Huh? What about those future testings and trials? Some of you young bucks in here, just like Josh back there that claims to be saved. Just like Megan over there, little girl claims to be saved. Oh, They don't see much. They don't understand much of what Brother Hall's talking about now, because God, they're yet tender in spirit and young in heart, and God will deal with them as with newborn babes. But I'm telling you, newborn babes, if they live, they grow up.
Amen.
And when they grow up, the hardships of life, my friend, will follow them.
Amen.
Sure as they're growing naturally, and the hardships of life will follow you as a child of God, friend.
Amen.
And by the way, let me just throw this out. Some of you mommies and daddies, it's all the time of criticizing the preacher, and he don't do this right, and he don't do that right. I wish you'd do it another way, and wish you'd do it another way. Bless God, you ain't walking in the same shoes tonight that I'm walking in.
Amen.
Why don't you keep your old mouth shut and let God run the church?
Amen.
Amen. They may have wondered at the bride's love for him while... under such resentment? Huh? You reckon supposedly that Christ, the reason He had withdrawn Himself and was gone is because He resented the way she had treated Him? Somebody said, oh, He don't withdraw Himself. There's only one other person, as far as I know, in this church that I've ever read this verse of Scripture. I may have read it. If I have, you'll forgive me for saying what I said. But I was going through a difficult time in my life, friend. And I thought all hell had unleashed on me. And as far as I know, Ruth Back's the only person in this church I read this verse of Scripture to. But Isaiah said in Isaiah 54, 7 and 8, for a small moment I have forsaken thee. Who, God? When He said He had never forsaken me and never leave me, I'm here to tell you, my friend, He forsook Israel because of their sin. And He departed from the bride because of her complacency. What gives us the right to believe that, my friend, that His feelings will not be smitten and God Himself will deprive us of the same fellowship He did them? He will. And He said, I for a small moment have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. I've got good news for you, friend. It won't last forever. God, it won't last forever. Amen. A small moment, just a little while. He said, I've forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. I want you to hear me well, friend. He may have his eyes closed and his face turned presently. And he may have withdrawn himself from that little bride. But son, when chapter 8 closes out in that book, they're walking hand in hand in harmony, friend, down life's pathway and in sweet communion and fellowship. Oh yes! And I'm here to tell you, friend, he may hide his face from us for a little while, but there's coming a day, hallelujah to God, when we'll look upon the face of the one that saved us by his marvelous grace, and we'll walk hand in hand with him down Hallelujah Boulevard. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May I say thirdly, their concern, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Maybe they may have seen a knowledge of Him in her that they didn't have. Right. Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm not done preaching yet. We preach too late. We'll have the benediction and come back at 3 o'clock instead of 6. Amen. Give you time to eat a bologna sandwich. Huh? Maybe they saw a knowledge in Him that they didn't have. I've really got this feeling, I don't know why, but I'm afraid there's some folks in this church that feel like that you have arrived spiritually. That you feel like you know about everything there is to know. Huh? I wonder how spiritual Paul was when he was caught up to the third heaven and saw things unlawful to speak. I don't believe there's a more spiritual man in all the Bible than Paul. Man. You know, he said in Galatians, the book of Galatians, he said, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, not to Him, in Him. To reveal Christ in me, would you like that today? Oh, somebody said, I want Christ revealed in me. I want somebody to see Christ in me. Do you really? Amen. Like I said in the Sunday school, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism He's baptized with? Amen. If you want folks to see Christ in you, friend, you're going to have to walk down the same pathway that He walked.
Amen.
You're going to have to experience the same reproach.
Right.
We don't even like to, oh, they said something bad about me. Whoop, scoop-de-doo, let the heathen rage. Some moron, I'm going to say who it is, and I'm on there. I don't give a flip they hear me. Doug Thompson's sister in Central City told Kelly Vincent the other night, said, oh, I know your pastor. Said, I've seen him coming out of a beer joint. She is a liar out of hell, and I hope she's listening to me. But let them talk, friend. If they talked about our Lord, they're going to talk about us. If they persecuted me, he said in Matthew 5, they'll persecute you also. Do you really want Him to be revealed in you? And I got to thinking about that thing. God revealed Christ, revealing Himself in Paul. One time Paul said in his life, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why he could say that, Brother Andy? He had been beaten with 40 stripes, save one, about 4 or 5 times. He had been in prison house after prison house. He had spent a night dead and a night in the deep. He had fell amongst perils of robbers, perils of his own countrymen, perils fell into perils in the country and in the city. He had been let down by a basket, my friend, off the wall to escape a death at an early Christian age. If you really want to be like Christ, you're going to have to learn, friend. There's an experience that follows that or precedes that.
Amen.
Should I say?
Amen.
And I don't know how many of us is really willing to. But I think Paul was a pretty spiritual man. And yet in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, that I may know Him.
Amen.
Paul said, I don't know much yet, but I'd like to know Him.
Amen.
I asked you that this morning. Do you really want to know Him?
Amen.
I mean, do we really? I'm going to tell you what I've been thinking this week. I've been thinking this week that maybe sometimes as a pastor I spend too much time trying to just, you know, as cope with people as little children to get them to come on and serve God. I thought about someday coming into church and just telling the folks, now everybody in here that wants to go with God, come hell or high water and go with God, just see me here tonight about 10 o'clock. And we'll start making some plans to go with God.
Amen.
Get God in their lives and in their hearts.
Amen.
Oh, there's a price to be paid for Him. That's right.
Amen.
And older Christians can see some things that some of you others can't see.
Right.
The beauty of holiness. You know why some of you can't quit smoking, can't throw your television set out your house? You just never have seen the beauty
Amen.
Of holiness
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
You know, a lot of folks around here call us odd duck Baptists. I'm glad they do.
Amen.
I'm proud to be an odd duck Baptist. I don't wear Bermuda shorts, bless God, and
Amen.
Go to the beaches. Don't go to the movie houses and all
Amen.
That mess.
Amen.
Then the third thing I see, some of you said glad. The compassion she had, the concern she had. But I see the comparison that she made. She said, what is your beloved more than another beloved? What is Christ to you more than somebody else?
Amen.
I'd hope you young people in here would take a lesson here.
Amen.
What is your beloved more than another beloved? She said, let you stand Him up and compare Him to these other beloveds that we have in the world and see what He is more than they are. You know, there are some things. And a beloved is just an object of our love.
Right.
Let me ask you this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is. What is the object of some of your love
Amen.
This morning? What is Christ to me more than your beloved? Come on in the house.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
I think she was saying, what makes him so special? What does he have that somebody else ain't got? It's kind of like, Miss Kim, when you fell in love with Brother Mark, some of those other girls that you all used to run with and stuff, they may have said, Tim, what do you see in Mark that you don't see in one of these other boys? Ooh. Sister Sandy, what do you see in George that you don't see in every man?
Right.
Hey, what did you see in Turfett that you didn't see in every other man?
Ooh-wee.
Oh,
right.
What do you see in him that you don't see in everybody else?
Amen.
There are some other beloveds in the world. What about that beloved pleasure that we have in the world? Oh, somebody said, preacher, surely not. Oh, yeah, there's pleasures in sin for a season, friend. And those pleasures are the well-beloved of so many people. I'm just going to talk my way on through it. We'll just sit here all day. What is my beloved more than a rock festival? What is my beloved more than a country music festival? What is my beloved more than a dance floor? What is my beloved more than a theater house?
Amen.
What is my beloved more than these pleasures of the world? May I say, friend, there's pleasures in sin for a season. But there's joy in Him forevermore.
Woo!
Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
What is your beloved more than the pleasures I enjoy out here in the world?
Amen.
What can He offer me? That's right, Brother Andy. There's pleasures in sin for a season, but the reproach of Christ is much greater riches.
Yes,
the reproach of Christ,
amen,
take up your cross daily and come after Him.
Amen.
Much greater riches. For without the cross, there will be no crown. Everybody wants a crown, but not many folks want the cross that goes with it.
Amen.
There's a cross to be carried.
Amen.
And I serve notice on some of you youngins in here. You not carried hobnobbing with the world.
Amen.
We want to dress like the world, look like the world, get as close to the world as we possibly can. God, help us. Moses realized there were some pleasures down there in that sin. But he esteemed the reproaches of Christ far greater riches than him. Boy, you get out there on that dance floor with that little Sapphirina bunny. Man, I'm telling you what, your heart, you get stimulated and stirred up, son. You just feel like doing the Mombusi and the two-step and the St. Charles and all that, a jitterbug hop and all that stuff. Oh, and it makes you just feel good. But I'm going to tell you, and you just feel better all over more than anywhere else. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, when you go on the dance floor, when you're out of the theater, when you get out of the back seat of the car, it's over! That pleasure is temporal, friend. But the joy of the cross is an eternal thing. May I say the lust of the flesh? The lust of the flesh is a beloved that a lot of people cherish. John said in 1 John 3:17, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." What is your beloved more than another beloved? What is my beloved more than a lustful eye, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that soon will pass away? But they that doeth the will of God, they will abide forever, friend. That's what my beloved is more than another beloved. Son, I'm going to live. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
I've lived more this morning than most of you have lived in 10 years.
Amen.
Amen. A day in His court is better than 10,000, my friend. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Hallelujah to God. I've just begun to live September the 13th, 1970. That's what my beloved is more than lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Come on in the house, young. I'm going to say that lust will leave you empty. But my beloved will satisfy. Me and Miss Hall was down at the mall a few weeks ago with the benediction. I sat down out there on one of them benches and crossed my arms, and I watched people come walking by, and some of them young boys and some of them old men, they sit out there and you could just see them. They'd watch them little old girls down there, and their old tongues are hanging out of their mouth, and their eyeballs hanging out on their face. Lust in their heart. And in 30 seconds, their lust was gone, friend. I've never been able, and I'm going to say this, I've never even been able when I was lost to understand where men got any pleasure out of opening up a magazine and looking at a naked woman in a book. Pray to God, tell me how looking at a naked woman in a book can satisfy any desire that a man has, spiritual or carnal. Somebody said, well, preacher, that stirs me up for my wife. Bless God, my wife stirs me up for my wife.
Amen.
I won't look at somebody naked, I'll look at her.
Amen.
That ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Brought a picture out the other day. I said, look what I found going through these pictures. Probably 33 years ago. 32 maybe. Down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Sister Hall laying out there by a swimming pool in a bikini. I said, I'm going to put that in my drawer. She said, throw that thing away. I said, I ain't about to throw that away. That's my sweetheart. Hallelujah to God, buddy. Amen. That's my baby. Yes! Wonder why some men are not, well, I'm a middle now, why they're not satisfied with a woman God gave them.
Amen.
And they've got a lust after every old heifer and hag out on a... Scrape your eyeballs off your chin with a putty knife. And it leaves you empty.
Amen.
And sinful.
That's right. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you something, friend. My beloved satisfies. I got a drink. You want to know what my beloved is more than another beloved? I got a drink at a well one day, buddy.
Amen.
Thank God I'm still a drinking. It ain't run dry. It's been 30 years. It ain't run dry. That's right. I want the young folks in here to know that there's a well of life, friend. There's a well of grace that you can just keep going back to. Drink your fill of it, friend, and it'll never run dry. I go to it this morning, it was running over the top. I go to it in the morning, it'll still be running over the top, son. It's just like a spring of water that never runs dry. I can drink all I want and find satisfaction in the Lord. Amen to God. May I say that another beloved, the praise and the applause of men. You know the Pharisees? I've known people in the church that if you'd brag about them, they'd do pretty well. Always get up and brag on them. Brag on them. Don't you dare. They tell me there's a church in Muhlenberg County. Come on in the house. We ain't done yet. They tell me there's a church over in Muhlenberg County that's got people go to church there, give a lot of money to the church. And they have special night for them, put their pictures on the wall, and folks come in there and applaud those people. They have their night, call their name, and have their night down at the church. I wonder how that makes them other folks in there that ain't got that kind of money give. I wonder how it makes them feel.
Go ahead. Great preacher.
The applause of men. I'm going to tell you something. One of them said right in that room back there and told me, he said, if you let us on this radio station, preacher, you will never have want of money ever again. I'm going to tell you what I thought in my heart. Sir, your money perish with thee.
Right.
No se, no se vende, hermano. No se vende. Not for sale. I'm going to tell you what their preacher is. And I always thought he's a pretty good fellow. I heard that. He's a stinking hireling that's been bought with money. I wouldn't give you a flip of a huge booger for him. You can run back over at Muhlenberg County and tell him I said that. Somebody said, you're hard. Son, I am sick and tired. People don't know what it means to live for God today. You don't brag on me, preacher. I'll cut off your money. Cut it off. And people got to have that. That, hey, I'm going to tell you what the book said about them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you've got your reward.
Amen.
All you want is that praise of man, you've got your reward. May I hit another one? I'm about to get done. I'm going to tell you another beloved. What is our beloved? More than another beloved. And I'm saying this for young converts. To get your attitude off all this junk. Get your mind on Christ.
Amen.
Even you young children in here. Let me just read this and then we'll tell you. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Amen.
And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I want to say to you, friend, that family relations, there's people sitting in here right now, if you ain't careful, your ties with your family, you esteem it more highly than you do your relationship with Christ.
Amen.
I won't charge you a thing for that this morning. There's family out there that will drag people into hell because they think more. God have mercy. Are you listening? God have mercy on an unbelieving father that will drag his kids into hell because of their love for him. Folks will live to regret it someday, Brother Doug. Love father or mother more than me. Oh, I'm telling you, we ought to honor our parents. Don't misunderstand me. We ought to love them. But you cannot love them above Christ. In other words, you cannot let them come between you and your beloved. Look here, those daughters of Jerusalem looked at that bride and said, what is your beloved more than another beloved? My, you have went through all this resentment and all this sorrow and all this heartache. What is he more to you? Amen to God. More than you than another beloved. What does he mean in your life that's above all these other things? God, help us. I've struggled somewhat this morning, but I've tried to preach to you. May I say that their love will soon disappear. And it will.
Amen.
You listen to me, young folk. Mom and Daddy's love will soon depart. For the grave awaits them. And the grave awaits you.
Amen.
But the love of Christ, He said, will be unto the end.
Amen.
May I say to you lastly, fifthly. For men shall be lovers. Their own selves.
Amen.
What is my beloved more than another beloved? What is Christ more than your self-love for you?
Amen.
What you love yourself about? May I say, friend, that self is an empty vessel.
Yes, sir.
Look here. You look into yourself. We love ourselves, and most people, Miss Sharon, they love because they want to be loved in return. Is that right or not?
Amen.
Now, people look into their self, and self cannot return love, friend. But Christ can. People look to pleasures for pleasures to love back, and they become disappointed. People look at family for love in return, and family disappoint them. Mom and daddy's passed away. That love is dissolved. What is our love? But I'm going to tell you something. He set His love on me 30 years ago, and He loves me yet today.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else, friend. He'll be loving me throughout all eternity.
Amen.
Why should we try to love self? It'll prove disappointing in your life. I believe that's what Jesus talked about when He said we're going to have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Now I'm closing with these five things. Paul found out in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was better than all other beloveds when he wrote it. For he said that He's better than the prophets. Better than the prophets in His teachings. He's the best. He said He's better than the angels in His message.
Amen.
Said He's better than Moses in His servitude.
Amen.
He said He's better than Aaron as a high priest in the intercession He makes. And He's better than Joshua in the rest that He offers.
Amen.
What is your beloved? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Compassion, concern, and comparison. Compare Him today. Why don't you just take a little while today to compare Him to everything else in life and see which weight tips the scale on the balance. Let's stand together. I've tried to preach. It's been difficult for me to say everything like I wanted to say it this morning. I feel like I repeated myself over and over, but I have done my best.